Looking for a great math program? CTC Math provides online video tutorials that make learning math easy and effective by using creative graphics and animation that are sure to grab and keep your child's attention. Here's a great testimonial from Lori, one of the many listeners of the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. She said, "One day, my 10-year-old was in tears over math. I tried my best to help, but ended up in tears as well. We prayed together, and that very night, I received an email offer for CTC Math. The following Monday, we reviewed the curriculum together. She was willing to give it a shot, and we have never looked back." Start your free trial today by visiting ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am so glad to have you back with me today. And I have a guest on with me today who I have been wanting to have on the podcast for literally years, actually since the very beginning of the podcast. She has been on my bucket list. Her name is Cindy Rollins, and I know many, many of you are already familiar with who she is. I read her book, we did a book club probably about 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago with some friends, and we read her book called Mere Motherhood. And it's Morning Times, Nursery Rhymes, and My Journey Towards Sanctification. It's a fantastic book. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today, but we're really going to kind of focus on one of the topics that she is passionate about. It's called The Hidden Art of Homeschooling, Habits in the Home. And it's something that probably like many of you, I struggle with finding good habits and establishing good habits for myself and for my girls. And so Cindy, to the rescue, she is here to help us. Cindy, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's exciting to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. You're one of those homeschool celebrities that, you know, I always think, oh, I want to meet her. And you came to my area about a year ago and I missed you. I had something going on that day and I was not able to go hear you speak and I was really bummed out about it. So this is the next best thing, is getting to be on the other side of the camera and the microphone with you and chat with you.
Yeah, we've already had some good conversation.
Yeah, so fun. You know, that's actually one of my favorite parts of podcasting, is that I get to talk with our guests before we actually hit record. And it's so much fun. Many of them I already know personally, but even the ones I do know, it's fun to just sit and chit chat and get to know each other on a more personal level. So thank you for your time today. Tell us about you and your family and the ministry that God has called you to.
Yeah, so I homeschooled my kids. My oldest son is 36 and my youngest is 19. We have nine and we have one daughter. And so we homeschooled a lot of boys. We had a lot of chaos and excitement in our home. And I don't know, I guess our home didn't look like the typical homeschool that I was reading about and watching over the years. So, but God was still with us and we got through it. And at the end, I kind of started, people used to ask me a lot of questions about boys and what to do in homeschooling. I have a Charlotte Mason bent, so they would be, can Charlotte Mason be for boys? And I'm like, well, yeah, because that's what we did. And my guys are all very manly. So anyway, I ended up writing Mere Motherhood as kind of the, a little bit of an anti-utopian dream, kind of like, okay, these are all really great books to inspire us, but also, what if our home doesn't look like that? Mm-hmm. Can we still homeschool? Can we still, have successful families even when it doesn't always look like a tea party every afternoon with pretty music and all the wonderful things? We still keep doing them, but is there hope for the normal family whose children fight with each other? And that was kind of what I was going for when I wrote the book.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you talk about normal family because we have learned over and over again, there is not a typical homeschool family. I think we have this image in our minds that every other family but ours is doing it right. And somehow we're the ones who are messed up in our house. You know, we feel like things are chaotic and everybody homeschools differently. I mean, there are some moms, of course, who are very structured and they have it all together and they have their scope and sequence and they've got their whole year planned out. And then there are moms like myself who kind of just, I fly by the seat of my pants And you know what? It's 10 years in. It's what has worked for our family. The Lord has had us on this crazy journey. And so we've kind of had to homeschool that way. And it's worked because we've trusted the Lord in all of it. Yeah. And I know from reading your book that that's really what it came down to for you as well, is that you trusted the Lord through the whole journey of homeschooling to provide what you needed, to get your kids to where they needed to be, but most importantly, to point them towards Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about, is that relationship with Christ. And that's one reason I really like Charlotte Mason so much, is because to her, it's the all the same thing. When we educate our children, when we give them knowledge, all of that, all true knowledge is knowledge of God. He's the one who's built it into the universe. And when our children see that, it's not like some like intellectual thing out in the world. And then as Christians, we just have this like meager supply of knowledge because we're afraid of it. Instead, we have all the riches and beauty of God's universe at our disposal. And our minds are there, made by God, to learn these things that he has given us. Is very exciting. So there's not this dissonance like, oh, if I really want to know something, I have to get out of this Christian bubble I'm in and go out of it. Because no, the bubble, God is the one who created the world, and all the knowledge that we're learning is his knowledge.
That's right. That's right. So, okay, you talk about Charlotte Mason, and I'm going to ask this for the moms who maybe are just starting out homeschooling. Maybe this is their first year, or maybe now that this is the new year and moms are either looking at homeschooling for this last semester of the school year, or they're looking at homeschooling for the following school year. And they're thinking, what in the world is this Charlotte Mason thing? Sure. Or who is Charlotte Mason? I remember I had no idea. I mean, I went to a workshop at a homeschool conference the very first year before we started homeschooling. And it was all the different styles of homeschooling. And they talked about, you know, Charlotte Mason and classical and unschooling. And I was like, what are they talking about? I mean, I was excited because I knew it was exciting, but at the same time, I was so overwhelmed. And so can you kind of explain in a nutshell to those who may not know what the Charlotte Mason method is?
Sure. Charlotte Mason was an educator who died in the 1920s. So she's been gone a while. She was English, and she wrote six volumes of books about her ideas about education. And she had a teacher's college in England. And most of those ideas are very home-centered. And so in the early 80s, somebody, Susan Schaefer McCauley, put out a book about Charlotte Mason called For the Children's Sake. Mm-hmm. And that book just casts a vision for homeschooling. Really, it just casts a vision for what education could look like. So a lot of people read that book and were like, this is what I really want for my children. And I like that book so much because of just what you're saying. If you're coming into this world and you're hearing this and hearing that, you really don't need more information. What you need is a vision, right, for what you're going to do with your family. Sometimes you just jump in anywhere. Most families now are just doing that. They're just jumping in, and wherever you are, that's good. But if you jump in anywhere, you start to find, well, this isn't working, and is this how it's supposed to be? Then you need that vision. And I think the book, even to this day, the book For the Children's Sake, really does cast that vision. I hope Mere Motherhood also casts that vision a little bit. I think it does on some levels, depending on where you are. But once you have that vision, then Charlotte Mason has written some volumes. There's all kinds of stuff out there, and that can be overwhelming too. But just basically, Charlotte Mason said two things. Children are born persons. That means that how do we learn as people? Our children are people just like us. They're going to learn exactly like we learn. So if we find something dry and unable to hold into our head, then they most likely are going to find it that way too. If we look at our schooling and think, oh, I didn't get anything out of that, and then we turn around and do that to our children, they're not going to get anything out of it either.
Right.
So she casts this idea of education as how do human beings learn? And then she had a couple other ideas that that all ideas are interconnected, and they, you know, we move from knowledge to knowledge to knowledge. She really liked knowledge. And I like that about her, because our minds feed on knowledge. And so she just, but she said, you know, we want to give our children living ideas, not dead crumbs.
Right, right. Well, and knowledge is important when we give them the right kind of knowledge. And that's one of the things that we really talk a lot about on the podcast, is teaching our kids from a biblical worldview, because we can feed them full of knowledge, but it could be nonsense knowledge, knowledge that can actually destroy their minds, as opposed to knowledge that comes from God's word, from God's universe, from his creation and what he has given us to learn, because he has given us the mind and the ability to learn about him through nature, through the things that are all around us, through being a family and relationships and all of those things. We recently did an episode with Jenny Urich, and it was called 1,000 Hours Outside. Well, she has a blog called 1,000 Hours Outside. And so she was on the podcast, and she was so fantastic. And she was talking about how Charlotte Mason says that kids should spend anywhere from 4 to 6 hours outside each day. And that just, it blows my mind. But there are so many benefits to that. And it was such a, I'll link back to that podcast for those who may have missed it. But there is so much that we can benefit from having our kids outdoors and just exploring the world around us that God gave us. We don't always have to sit and have textbooks in front of us to learn about God. And so I love that about Charlotte Mason, that she really kind of pushes parents to, and I hate the phrase, but to think outside the box, to think outside of that traditional school box of sitting down, always having the worksheets, get through the worksheets, get through the book, and you're done with school. Because education is so much more than that.
I think the key here is sometimes what was our motivation? Are we trying to puff our children up? Or real knowledge, real education will humble us. We will be humble, and we'll be underneath it, and we'll be accepting it and learning it from the Lord. Knowledge that is, like you said, from a unbiblical kind of worldly perspective is going to be something that says, oh, you're learning this so you can be better than other people.
Right.
Or you're learning this because you want to show off and you want to. And knowledge, it's, if we have a hunger for knowledge and wisdom, which we get from the Lord, then that knowledge will not puff us up. It'll humble us, and we'll be able to learn more, because we all start at the same place. I don't know.
Right.
If a child can't say, I don't know, or if it's all about what he already knows, then he can't go forward. And so there, it really even isn't even about what is the knowledge. It's about what is the attitude of your own heart towards that knowledge.
Right, right. I love that. Let's take a quick break.
Learning to write well in order to effectively communicate ideas can be a challenge for many students. Equipping teachers and teaching parents with methods and materials which will aid them in training their students to become confident and competent communicators and thinkers is key. The Institute for Excellence in Writing is an organization dedicated to training, mentoring, and providing a model for teachers in a clear, sequential, and effective method of teaching writing that reinforces history, science, literature, and other content areas.
Our methodology begins with dictated content. So rather than saying to a child, here, think of something and learn to write, we actually give them the content, and through our 9 units, gradually wean them from dictated content to that blank page.
Through the process of learning to write well, students learn how to think clearly and to express themselves eloquently and persuasively. For more information or to order the program, visit IEW.com.
Do you love books, but sometimes feel overwhelmed at the sheer volume of titles that are out there? It's impossible to read everything. It's even impossible to keep up with what's coming out on any given week. There are so many publishers, genres, authors, and titles. Even good-sized bookstores can hardly keep up. So how do you know what's actually worth checking out? That's where Forma, a digital and print journal published by the Searcy Institute, comes in handy. Each week, they provide reviews of a carefully curated selection of new books, many of them lesser known but important titles from lesser known but important publishers. They'll suggest titles you won't want to miss, and sometimes they'll provide unique perspectives on books everyone is already reading. So if you'd like some help pointing you in the right literary direction, head over to formajournal.com for both free and subscriber content. You can even have weekly reviews delivered to your inbox. Again, visit formajournal.com. We are back with Cindy Rollins, and we're talking about Charlotte Mason. And we're actually going to kind of segue that into what we're really here to talk about, which includes the Charlotte Mason kind of method, sort of. But I want to talk about habits in the home and how we can establish good habits. As I said earlier in the podcast, I am more of a fly-by-night kind of girl. And that doesn't mean that we don't accomplish things. It doesn't mean that we don't do anything at all. I'm just not super structured when it comes to doing things. It's, you know, when we get to it in the day, that's when we get to it. And if we're still doing, learning at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, then so be it. And my girls just roll with it. You know, that works great because oftentimes during the day, they'll go out and ride their bikes, they'll go out and play, they'll go out and skateboard, or we're running errands or going to the park or doing different things. And so I'm not one who feels like for our family, like we have to have a super structured start school at 8 a.m. every day and have every hour of the day scheduled out. But there definitely is benefit to establishing good habits in the home. So how have you found ways to help moms and for yourself to develop lifelong good habits?
Well, one of the things that really helped me a lot and got me kind of on the road to habits, because I'm not naturally, like you said, I don't like a strict thing. Like we have to do this, 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 and this. I think because I feel like I have to do it. And then I'm like, driven and I could have anxiety. But my parents both, one of the things my parents did was they both read their Bibles every day. And when I got to be, you know, an older person, like 18, 19, I was like, oh, I'm an adult now. What do I do? Well, the adults read their Bibles every day. So in a way that sets up this, I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do is read the Bible. Right there, you have this lifelong habit. Mm-hmm. That gives you some structure to your life. And it's not a thing that tears you down. It really builds you up. It's not a prideful thing. It's like, I'm hungry. I have got to find some food for my soul. And right. Here it is every day. I feed my soul in the same way that I feed my body. But when I first read Charlotte Mason and her, she was very strong on habit, because basically she said habit is 10 natures. If we have a good habit, that's that much we don't have to think about. Mm-hmm. If we brush our teeth every day, we don't have to think about brushing our teeth every day. And then we're freer. That frees us up a little bit for some other things. But when I first started, I had this 9 kids. Everything was, you know, they're pushing each other and wrestling on the floor. And I'm reading Charlotte Mason. She's talking about habit. And I felt completely overwhelmed by that. As a matter of fact, I kind of just shut down. I wasn't going to be able, I really didn't feel up to doing that. As I've gotten older, I see that where we did well in our family, we had what was called morning time in mm-hmm. our home. Well, that was a habit, but I didn't see it at the time. So in order to have some structure in our family and not just let everybody just constantly pull me aside, we got together every morning and we read aloud, we did music, and that was a beginning of a habit of learning in our home. And it started out our day as a time of learning together. Charlotte Mason speaks a lot about habit, but we don't have to panic too much because we naturally tend towards habits. And we just have to find those places where we're already in a habit of something, like mealtime for many people, mealtime. And we can add things to that. Like you could read a poem during dinner, mm-hmm. or you can start to develop some of these lifelong habits of learning. Of course, there's all kinds of habits that we can develop in our lives that are helpful to us. That aren't connected to education, but they're also bad habits.
Sure.
So where Charlotte's idea was, get in the good habits, and that kind of heads off the bad habits at the pass.
Yeah. One thing I have found for myself that is helping my girls to develop habits is a checklist. Like they really need, and I need a checklist. I'm a check. Sometimes I will have a checklist and I'll put stuff that I've already done because I love the feeling of checking it off. It's so satisfying. And
That's a trick. That's a trick for you to make you feel better. Right.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I did this. Yay.
Exactly. Exactly. But for my girls, you know, we have a checklist. They have their morning checklist, they have their school checklist, and then they have their evening checklist. And that has been a lifesaver for us because I'm not constantly having to say, okay, did you brush your teeth? Did you make your bed? Did you put your clothes away? Did you do your laundry? Did you do the dishes? You know, all of the things. I can just say, did you do your morning list? Did you do your evening list? And they know. And so we're working to help them to develop good habits, lifelong habits, because, you know, it's good to brush your teeth every day, a couple of times at least. It is. It is so important for us to be able to help teach our kids to do that. You talk about teaching your kids. Did you have a specific way? Now, you know, of course, we use lists. Did you have lists for your kids, or was there a specific thing that you did to help teach your kids to develop good habits? And then have they carried those into their adult life?
Well, that's a very good question. Yes, I did have a specific way, and I did have lists for my kids. We always had morning time. The kids always did math first thing. We always had morning time. And then they had lists to do the rest of their schoolwork. And I was like you, in a large family, if it's not like, oh, we're done at five. You know, we're still learning sometimes because we did the laundry. We took a hike. We went outside and played. You know, life is like that. We're not going to always have everything in a box where, oh, we finished it this time, we finished it that time. But my kids had a checklist. One of the things I did in my family in order to help with habits, and this is kind of a large family kind of tip, because you can kind of get away without this if you don't have a large family, but we did the same things every day. I didn't do a lot of this is Monday, this is Tuesday, this is what we do on Wednesday. It was just every single day you do your math, every single day you do your reading list, and every single day you do a written narration. The reason I did it that way was so they couldn't come to me and trick me and say, is today narration day? Oh, I'm not going to do a narration. It's not narration day. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. Is this narration day?
Right.
And before you know it, every day is not a narration day. So I just said, if it's a school day, you're going to do a written narration. And that kind of cut them off at the pass. This is mom trying to get the upper hand.
Yep.
And they were able to know, yes, every single day. So that cut out a lot of arguments. In a way, these habits are freeing up mom, so she's not always the bad guy, not always nagging. The list can be the nag. The list can kind of take over some of that work for mom.
Yeah. Yeah. Love it. I love lists. We are out of time for this episode, but Cindy's going to come back and join us on Wednesday. And we're going to continue talking about these things. Cindy, where can people find out more about you?
You can go to cindyrollins.net. You can find me on Facebook on the Literary Life Podcast discussion group. Sorry, that's really hard to say. Or we have a Mere Motherhood discussion page, which is very lively and very, very positive place.
Okay, we will put all of those links in the show notes as well. And you guys, if you are encouraged by this podcast, please do me a favor and go leave a review for us on iTunes. We always are so blessed whenever we get to read those and see what you guys are talking about on there and how we are encouraging you. And let us know how we can encourage you. You can always send us an email to podcast@schoolhouserocked.com. That comes straight to me and my husband. And if you have suggestions for topics that you would like us to discuss or guests that you would like us to have on the podcast, let us know. We are here to serve you and encourage you on your homeschool journey. So shoot us over an email. Let us know how we can help you and encourage you. Have a fantastic rest of your day, and we will see you back here on Wednesday. Bye.
Every year, parents just like you are discovering Classical Conversations, a vibrant, supportive Christian homeschooling program that's been equipping parents since 1997 with the resources, tools, guidance, and encouragement they need to homeschool their children with confidence and prepare them for a lifetime of success. Visit our website at classicalconversations.com to find a nearby community and learn more about homeschooling the Classical Conversations way. Classical Conversations, Christian homeschooling simplified.